Welcome to this week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show. Sorry, I was actually emailing gaming about a dispute. But that being said, I was just finishing up the email. So I am your host, Kenny B. Wasn't here last week. Thanks for all you guys.
Nor was I.
Who sat in? Who sat in last week? Were you here? Josh and Mark Shannon.
Mark Shannon.
Yeah, it was just Josh and Mark.
Good. Well, thanks to Josh Nagel and Mark Shannon for sitting in last week. And our ding-dong board man was here, too. And he wrote another song that he's going to try. And I told him that if John, you get the final vote if he can sing the song on the air.
No, listen, I had a lot of feedback.
Positive or no?
About my reaction to you, but not to you. But we can try it again.
No, with that being said, to JD's right, my left, Tommy Thompson. What's going on, Tommy?
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Tommy's he's a filling kind of guy, you know. He's kind of like JD, a mountain full of useless knowledge, so he's always good to have on here. Get him lubed up with a couple of these $2 Bud Lights that you drink right here. So
as soon as we get the fireball flowing, we're going to be really good.
Oh, man. Me and JD have always said that if we could tape our breaks.
Yeah, that's the show.
That's the show. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We get fired up at each other and start yelling. So, and to my right, straight from New York.
What's up?
Is he the cool Tommy Lane, or is he the cool Lane brother? Or the
no, other? He's no Tommy's yeah. the cool one.
Well, I thought yeah. Terry came back into play.
Terry,
but Tommy's been the cool one.
Terry yeah. came
only
into
because
play,
of the name.
Tommy, yeah,
absolutely.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
Terry has to try. Tommy doesn't.
Ah,
I'm comfortable in my own skin.
So, Tommy Lane.
I love them both.
Oh yeah, Tommy Lane, the sons of Mills Lane. Great friend of mine, as everybody probably knows if you listen to the show regularly. He's in town from New York. Is Terry in town?
Terry gets in on Sunday night.
Okay, so Sunday night. Yeah. So they came back and they're putting on another big boxing card. So I'm going to get some. And there's some big boxing news that actually came out today too. You know,
yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
Big boxing heavyweight yeah. match on the horizon. And you know, we're going to talk a little bit about boxing and let you talk a little bit about the card. You know, coming up, it's going to be next Saturday. Is it next Saturday?
Yeah, next Saturday at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. It's on ESPN. It's a world title fight. Oscar Valdez versus Jason Sanchez for the WBO featherweight championship. Gabriel Flores is also on the card. He's from Stockton. He travels
big too, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. No, he actually just fought less than a month ago in Stockton. They sold 10,000 seats.
Wow.
He's really breaking through. So he's going to be the co-main on the fight, and he's going to bring a ton of people from Stockton. We're definitely expecting a sellout for this. We got two locals on the show, Diego Elizondo from Carson, 2-0. He's fighting another undefeated kid, 2-0 from Sacramento. And then J.J. Mariano is turning pro, and he won the national championship for the University of Nevada boxing team. So
sweet.
This is his pro debut?
This is his pro debut. He would be the most recent person to turn pro from that program. Since I think Joey Gilbert was the last one to do it.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Joey was the last one?
Yeah. I think actually Ryan Simpson, who was basically peers with Joey, he might have gone after. So technically either those two. But since that era,
that's quite a long time. With the success of that Nevada boxing program, I thought that would be a little more frequent.
No, The collegiate program is considered novice. I mean, to participate in that, you have to have under like three fights in general. So the guys who excel and are really have what it takes to even, you know, give it a shot in the pros are pretty few and far between.
Sure.
We've tried it once or twice with some guys since then, but it didn't work out. But
gotcha.
So that program is very near and dear to us, or it's what our father came to Reno for, was to fight for the university.
Yeah.
And, those people
rest
are like
history.
Family. So
I got to throw some fists.
Jimmy Olivas.
Yeah, Jimmy Olivas. Absolutely.
I got to throw some fists with Mills a couple of times just in a playful manner.
Oh,
and,
man.
Oh, my goodness. We have to. I'm probably – I'm 5'11", probably about one.
Whoa.
You want to wager? Whatever you want, I'm 5'11". Whatever you want. I actually measure myself – for a different reason, but anyways.
Oh, hold on,
I thought
let's
I was
not,
6 foot.
Let's not get into that.
You don't think I'm 5'11"?
Well, then I'm 6'4".
Okay, that's fine. You can be 6'4". I don't care.
I'm in.
All right. So, and Mills, what does he go about 5'6"?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think at his height, he was 5'6". Yeah.
So we, so
but,
we,
but he always said, you don't spell bad, B-I-G. I mean, he,
yeah.
he you
That's
know,
true.
He
oh, believe me.
Yeah,
believe
yeah.
me. We used to go to oh, dinner
I was,
all
I'm
the time.
Three times the size and deathly afraid of him.
Yeah. yeah. He,
so was I.
yeah. You,
yeah. So am I.
And how big are you?
I'm 6'2", I think.
Yeah, 6'2", about 190.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So, see, and John says, I don't know if I'm 5'11".
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see him. He's in front of you.
Yeah, like
you're 5'11", really?
Yeah. Like, this is a carnival game. Let me guess your weight.
Let's not go that route.
Let's not get crazy. So with that being said, you know, going back to, you know, the many of dinners that, you know, John, you've been there. Tommy, did you ever get to go to, with this?
Once,
yeah. We used to always go to dinner with Mills and just share boxing stories. He liked to drink the Merlot. Exactly. Or in the words of Mills Lane, Merlot.
Yeah.
You know, we'd get boosted up.
All that Merlot.
He got drunk. I was the first one to get you drunk leaving the El Dorado after Joey. Didn't he just win the collegiate championship?
Circa 1997, yes.
Oh. Yes.
I was probably like 10 years old.
No, you weren't quite that young. don't make me that bad of a guy. So we went up to
14, maybe.
We went up to – he was probably about 14, maybe. And we went up to an after party I was giving him beers and wine, and I remember driving home. We were driving home with Mills, and I kept looking in the back. He was destroyed.
Yeah.
And Mills kept going, "Why are you looking in the back?" I go,
"Don't worry about
it. Don't worry. You watch the road." So
I actually remember that. So I wasn't blacked out completely. Yeah. So I remember, but
the second time I got you drunk, you were blacked out on a golf course, and he got drunk so he could Welsh on the bet.
Well, I've been paying
bold strategy. Right
he got
there.
So drunk he couldn't continue the round, so he called a no bet. Like when we got rained out here that one time.
I remember. Yeah.
So with that being said, that's a crazy story.
That's a good strategy.
But going back to where this all started, you know, talking about, you know, going to dinner and Mills, you know, and us drinking the vino, you know, and the Merlot, and he gets a little bit. He got a little bit of spice in him sometimes, you know, and we were great friends. I mean, seriously, the greatest man I've ever met in my life. And he was like, "Let's go, boy. Let's go. You think you're something? Let's go." He always liked to push on his nose. And if you don't, Mills, he has no cartilage in his nose because he got it busted up so many times.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd always like, you know, scrape his nose with his thumbs. And so I kind of came at him, you know, just jokingly. And he ducked under me and hit me with the left.
In the body.
Right? Oh, my goodness, did I go
body
to a knee. Just what? And he goes, "Let's go. Get up." And I'm like, "I'm done."
Yeah.
So true
story.
What I
always enjoyed about Mills, just being from the outside when we would go to dinner, is he was ready to answer any question.
Yep.
You know, he's heard the same questions a million times.
Yeah, but he.
But he never, he was just like, he'll answer. Who's the toughest guy you ever saw? He'll answer that.
Yeah. Bertrand Durand.
Yeah, exactly.
And he enjoyed it.
Yes,
he
did.
Yeah.
That the passion that he would talk about fighters that he knew or watched, and one of the things, and JD could probably attest to this, is our friend Marcus
Urban.
When he would talk about Marcus Urban,
the potential that he had.
Yeah. And you would see his eyes light up, and just the passion that he would speak about a local guy that
got
we've been
ten
friends
cent
with.
Head.
Yeah,
he can punch with anybody. He can bang, but he can't think.
I don't. I mean,
he's a little different now. Bless his heart, Marcus is one of our best friends. But,
I love you, Marcus. If you're listening,
but you're exactly right. And just how candid Mills always was with us, and just, you know, he didn't know us from anybody, but just to answer those questions, like you said, Roberto Duran. I always ask the Mike Tyson questions, and you know, and it was awesome.
Which going back to the Mike Tyson questions, he said that he was truly one of the most. A professional, respectful fighters that he, you know, back in his heyday when he was.
Did he call him Mr. Mills?
He called him Mr. Mills. And I have a little a theory that I never, you know, talked about with my dad about post stroke. But if you watch a lot of the old Customato interviews, there's a similar cadence,
that's a similar
look. And I wonder if my dad reminded Mike Tyson
of
Customato.
That makes a lot of sense.
That is a great – I never thought of that. You're right.
Because there was a similar raspiness and, you know, and he always called him Mr. Mills. I got to meet Mike Tyson once before the fights, the referee goes into the dressing rooms to give instructions. And this was before the Tyson-Bruno fight, the rematch. And somehow my dad was able to, you know, my brother and I went in with him and – Tyson was there, and he shook. He was super nice. Kind of was, you know, was just, I mean, Tyson growing up was like my hero.
Oh, if you're a boxing fan, he's a god. He was Michael Jordan at that time.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And then he turned into, you know.
Well, with his legal troubles, when he bit
Holyfield. But it was that, you know, when I got to meet Tyson was probably like my, the one moment, the highlight of my life as a kid. So
it's pretty awesome what he really has become.
Oh, yeah.
That road could have gone a much different way than it
has. He got back on the right path. I think is where you're headed with this.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, he has a one-man show, for God's sakes. He had that cartoon. Did you ever watch that cartoon?
Oh, the cartoon was fantastic.
It's amazing. And it's just, it's Mike Tyson to people of our age. He might be a little old, okay, just kidding. But no, to people of our age, Mike Tyson was it. He was absolutely everything. Yeah. I was a Larry Holmes guy when I was a kid. And watching what he did to Larry Holmes, I was like, I guess I got to follow this guy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which I'm sure it was when Holmes did what he did to Ali to the previous generation. So
I was scared for those guys in The Hangover when they stole the tiger. Sure. Yeah. Like, it's a movie. Exactly. I'm going, no, he's going to hit him.
The champ still got
and
it.
He did.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, people to this day still have that feeling of that everyone wants to see Mike Tyson back
still
in the ring. So it's like he still has it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to this day, if he made a comeback, he would still sell more.
Oh,
it's
sell out.
How old is he now?
Oh,
53-ish.
Is that
he's not coming back.
George Foreman was still fighting.
That's a completely different story, though.
Foreman, he was still younger than he was like 45, I think, when he won the title.
Yeah, 45.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy, and though.
The Tyson versus Ali question, which, you know, that's the dream.
Ali's
the smartest boxer who's ever lived.
10 out of 10.
If you saw what Buster
O'Neal. 10 out of 10?
Yeah.
Mike's not going to catch him time.
I think that Tyson.
Tyson, Ali fought all those guys, John. He fought Foreman and Holmes and Shaver and Norton. That punched
I
like,
mean, we're, you're,
go ahead, talk.
You're I, literally not. You're leaving out Joe Frazier right now.
I said Frazier. Oh, I started with Frazier.
Okay.
In terms of talent, I mean, if you want. A lot of Tyson's talent came from intimidating guys.
Yeah.
So he, you know, so if you want to factor that in, he was very very talented. But I think in terms of style, I mean, when he was in his prime, he was definitely knocking guys out. But I mean, Buster Douglas.
How tall is Ali? He's pretty tall.
Probably about 6'2" somewhere.
Yeah.
So he would be taller. He'd
Mike's
be more athletic.
5'9", 5'10"?
Way more quick. 5'11". Way more athletic. And I mean, but like, you know, Buster Douglas.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
there you go.
He wasn't, you know, one tenth of what Ali was, and the guy who had it in him to stand up to Tyson was going to be Tyson, who had the talent, and Ali stood up to, like, you know, Sonny Liston was way more gangster than Tyson was, and he, you know, as a crazy,
Frazier,
young 21-year-old, he shows up and, you know,
headhunts people.
Frazier Tyson's always the one that I.
Oh,
kind
that would have
dreamed
been an
about.
Amazing,
that's an amazing
fight.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
That left hook that Frazier. Oh my.
That's.
Goodness.
I think that's a better conversation about who would be who is Tyson and Frazier over Tyson and Ali. I think Ali just outboxes him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Absolutely, that's crazy.
God, so I would have loved to have seen it.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Ali?
No.
So I know Mills did a couple fights.
Yeah, no, he did. And in 1960, Ali, my dad and Bob Foster all fought together in the Olympic trials in San Francisco.
Right?
We have the program, and it says Cassius Clay.
That is so cool.
And then Ali and Foster fought each other as pros, and my dad refereed at Lake Tahoe.
No, really?
Yeah. And we have a photo of all three signing that. So those three, yeah.
What was the outcome of that fight? Foster?
Ali beat him, but it was
but
one
didn't
of the
Foster
only
knock
times
him
got,
down?
No, the only time he got cut.
That's what it was.
Oh, that's right.
Bob Foster, is that right?
Yeah.
I met him.
Yeah.
And he told me who he was, and I didn't believe him. But then he started telling me about this, and he said I got it confused a little bit. I thought he said he was the first guy to knock him down, but he's the first guy to open him up.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, that's what I remember.
And he said, he got me after that. He goes,
he beat him.
Have you watched the new Ali documentaries?
No, I have not.
I've seen part of it. It's good. I was going into it. I'm like, you know, I love Ali, but I mean, how many documentaries? How many stories?
Who's
going to
tell
said
different?
About?
But it is
but
a little different.
This one is good.
It really is.
This one is really good. It really it's a kind of more of the boxing side and not
that's
the other.
Right.
I thought it was just going to be like, you know, whoever the producer, the person who's writing the script of the documentary was. They're all trying to like outdo each other in terms of like you
it's
know.
It's very sad when you watch the deterioration.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Of Muhammad Ali that. When you see it. And the most poignant part of the whole thing is Larry Holmes. He just was beside himself that he had to do what he had to do to his idol.
To put him out.
And that was really late. If you think about it.
Really late.
That was like that was in the 80s. You know, Ollie won the title in the 60s, late mid-60s. I mean, he fought along.
And that lull between Ollie, that Holmes was, when Holmes was a champion, in between Ollie and Tyson, when he didn't really have anybody to fight. He's fighting Jerry Cooney.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on right now? You're fighting Tyrell Biggs?
Yeah.
So, I think he's criminally underrated, Larry Holmes. I would have loved to see him in these different eras to see how good he really was.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't disagree. Tommy, you got anything on this?
No, I just love listening to Tommy talk about the stories.
We got some stories. There's three stories that when we come back from break I want to tell. I want to tell the real reason of the No Moss fight. You know the real reason.
I do too.
We can hopefully talk about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, last time I got censored, I think.
You
used the wrong terminology. Yeah. the Mike Tyson, Holyfield fight where Tyson bit him.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know.
And the fan man.
And there was a third one that I wanted to
tell. Oliver McCall had the emotional
breakdown.
That's the one.
And then, I mean, my dad really did have all of the crazy fights. And then Akinwande Lewis up at Tahoe when Akinwande wanted to stop, like, excessively holding. So that was like 2 weeks after the Tyson Holyfield fight. Two different heavyweight championship fights, disqualifications. But
yeah,
well, it really is funny that he was privy to all that stuff.
And he had the character and the reputation to be able to handle that and not get questions, which is amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Richard Steele wasn't going to do that.
NBA officials get right now questioned on charges and calls. And this guy, in a world heavyweight title fight between Tyson and Holyfield, he DQs him.
Yes.
I mean, anybody else gets destroyed. I got the three stories we're going to tell when we come back. And then we got to talk about your card. Plus, there's some other big – Manny Pacquiao, Keith Thurman. I want to get your opinion on that. You know, we got Ruiz and Joshua. I want to get your opinion on that. And, you know, maybe some other stuff these guys might want to pop off to you. So let's head off to our first commercial break. William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with John the Hawk Stevens, Tommy Thompson, and Tommy Lane. Cool Tommy Lane, not Machine Gun Lane,
CTL.
Right?
CTL.
Tough guy Tommy. Tough guy Tommy. Can you beat up Terry?
I would bet on it.
Yeah, I would too.
I would.
Minus 130?
I think
I would get
Terry could be
minus 10,000.
So, in the words of the great Nick Bogdanovich, it's an out price. It's an out price.
Oh, yeah, no. That's a throwaway fight.
It's a throwaway fight. We're talking about Terry and Tommy Lane, Tommy being the younger of the two brothers, and Terry can get a little lippy. He can get a little.
He can check me. He can put me in check mentally, but physically, I still think I can.
I was going to say, he looks like he'll get dirty though.
Yeah. I mean,
I think that Tommy's got a little back street alley brawling in him.
Do what we
the
need
youngest
to do
brother's
win.
Always the toughest.
Huh?
The youngest brother's always
the youngest,
the toughest.
Aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
Always. So. I'll take them both on at the same time.
Got Tommy
Mark
Lane
and Scott, let's go.
Tommy Lane in town from New York, promoting his the Let's Get It On boxing card. Him and Terry and Tommy Lane running Let's Get It On. Big card coming up at the Reno Convention Center here coming up actually next weekend. And that's kind of what we're talking about. And before we get enthralled in all this boxing talk, because I want to talk about these stories and get your opinion on some stuff. You can still buy tickets, right? Where can you get tickets?
Yeah, no, for sure. Tickets are still available. You can, you know, find us on Facebook and message us directly.
Where?
Let's Get It On Boxing.
Okay, there you go.
Ticketmaster.com, there's tickets. The Atlantis Gift Shop, there's tickets. So a bunch of different ways. And tickets are still available. But it should be, I mean, tickets are actually moving pretty well for this.
I've watched a number of fights at the convention center. That's a good venue.
Yeah, no. And
I'm excited. I'll be there.
Yeah. That's the original venue. Sonny Liston fought in there.
I saw George Foreman fight there.
Yep. My dad fought there.
I saw George Foreman fight Jimmy Ellis
there. I saw James Toney fight there.
Yeah, I sold James Toney spandex at Champs.
Was it Shelly Finkel was his manager? Or Shelly?
Probably. That might have been at the Lawler Event Center, though.
It was Ray Finkel.
100%.
Probably. Shelly Finkel, yeah.
Shelly, was it Shelly?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I know. I'm kidding.
So, I saw him fight there. Like James you said, John, there's been some issues
that
has walked through the convention center.
And then Sugar Ray fought there?
Sugar Ray Leonard fought there. Boom Boom Mancini fought
there.
Yes,
Boom Boom.
Roy Jones Jr.
Wow.
Early in his career was on an undercard.
Yes. And for a while, Boom Boom, this was his home turf, Reno.
Yeah. Second home.
We'd go watch Boom Boom fight. You know, we're an Italian family. We'd go watch Boom Boom Mancini every time. And he fought here a lot. Livingstone Bramble, Bobby Chacon.
Yeah.
I loved it.
On YouTube, every now and then I'll bring up Boom Boom Mancini versus Greg Haugen, which is at the convention.
Greg Haugen, I was there.
And that
boy, Greg Haugen was tough.
Oh, it was. He knocked him out.
And, yes.
But that, I mean, that was just such a classic time. You look at it. Actually, we have the same ring announcer as that. That was, I think, in like 1995.
Seriously?
Jimmy Lennon Jr. is going to be.
Oh, Jimmy Lennon?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Do you need a Michael Buffer? Because I can do this.
Well, he did the one. He did Michael Buffer.
Jimmy Lennon's better than Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer now.
Oh, you said ring announcer.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, I
misunderstood. One trick pony, Michael Buffer.
And now he has an exclusive with DAZN, so he's not on ESPN
there
anymore.
There you go.
So.
Wow.
Or UNLV, UNR basketball games.
Yeah, exactly.
Nevada. Well, I can't believe I just said UNR.
So, fights are next Saturday. Opening
next
bell
Saturday. So, first fight is at 3:30. The main event TV portion stuff starts at 7. The main event's actually it's a pretty cool story. So, Oscar Valdez, this is his sixth title defense. He's fighting a kid named Jason Sanchez from Albuquerque, New Mexico, who's 14-0. He was actually not the first opponent. The guy that we had him matched up with before, Eric Ichirata from Southern California, couldn't fight. He had to pull out. So this is one of Top Rank's prospects. I would say that he might be like, you know, this fight, a title shot was originally probably like a year or two down the road. But he was in the gym training, and they needed an opponent. And this kid is good. So it's like, you know, it's a perfect Cinderella story where this young guy who really didn't have any plans of fighting for a world title gets a world title shot. And it's kind of like Rocky. I mean, you know, if he goes the distance, then he's a name overnight anyway. But the kid's a real prospect. So, yeah, I mean, if he beats him, I mean, he's a star overnight. Mm-hmm. I mean, to fight on ESPN primetime for the world title, you know, this is like, you know, the kid hit the lottery.
What's the weight class?
126 featherweight.
Nice.
So they're going to throw hands.
Yeah, no, and because the kid is, you know, not that far along in his career, I don't know that much about him, but from what I've been told, it's actually very, very – he's considered like a blue-chip prospect.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, one of the good things that Nick Bogdanovich does with William Hill is he'll have this fight. You'll be able to bet this fight, and that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to get with him early next week, and don't let me forget. And I'm going to get with Nick next week, and I'm going to say, listen, you got to get a number out for this fight just because it's a local fight. It's going to sell out. There's going to be people here that want to wager on this.
Oh, yeah, and for this fight, I mean, what I would expect – The value is definitely
on the
underdog. Oh,
what would
yeah.
you – I know that I don't mean to embarrass you or put you on the spot or make you look bad, but what's your gut tell you about what you think the line should be?
What I think it should be as opposed – like I think it'll be a big, you know, unbalanced
I think the
line.
Favorite's going to be a big favorite.
Yeah, I think it'll be imbalanced. Right. But I think that, I mean, you know, I would, you know, 3 or 4 to 1 for Valdez, you know, that's something like
so,
that, but it'll be like 10, 20 to 1.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Give me some of this. And these guys are going to laugh because of our conversation. Whose fighter is Bob Arum?
Which Valdez.
All right.
I wish I could tell that story on the air.
Trust us. That's pertinent information.
You said it earlier. The breaks have the best conversations.
Yeah. So, anyways, with that being said, all right.
There's plenty of people that do sit next to us and listen this whole time. Well, they're here. I don't know if he ever listens. He's there.
It's Chewy.
Literally every time. But.
Yeah, they listen. So yeah. Tommy Lane from Let's Get On Boxing, the big card next week. Local card going to sell out. So make sure you get your tickets. Support local boxing. We're trying to get it back in the Reno area, the Reno market. And Terry and Tommy Lane, like I said, with Let's Get On Promotions, doing their best.
Now, Tommy, have you ever met Marvin Hagler?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I met him
my.
That's my favorite boxer of all time.
That's my dad's, one of my dad's
favorite. We have a favorite. We have a fourth story. Go for it. I want to hear Marvin the marvelous one.
I mean, I met him
was
when.
Was it? You sure it wasn't Lou Gossett Jr.?
No.
I just want to know. Are you sure?
You know who his dad was?
Who is that?
Lou Gossett.
I don't know who this guy is.
You don't know who Duke Blossett is?
Duke Blossett Jr. is?
No. Okay, on break, I'm going to show you two pictures, and I'm going to say Chappie? You guys. Yeah. Okay. I guarantee you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, so I met Hagler when the year that my dad was being inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. He was up there, and, I mean, I actually – so this was a couple years ago, so post-stroke. Oh, yeah. No, this guy's in – I know.
Iron Eagle.
He thinks it's Cruz.
I'm going to find the Digstown, the movie where
– Oh, Digstown. Okay. You're exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. No.
That was 2 G's. That's Digstown.
Yeah, no. So we met – I mean, and I haven't seen my dad probably that, like, happy to see somebody since –
Yeah.
He lit up and
that's awesome.
Kind of started talking to him. It was crazy. But, I mean, he was a nice guy. And, he, just the way he carried himself as a fighter, Marvin Hagler was
in Italy, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, he got, after the Sugar Ray Leonard fight.
After the robbery of the Sugar Ray Leonard fight.
He retired and moved to Italy to make movies there or something.
I'll never get over that. April 6th, 1987. I still remember the date.
How does he do it?
I had that poster on my wall for a long time.
Okay.
That was 2 days after I was born.
He just hangs out in the bathroom at Pinocchio's with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. That's what it is. But no, Marvin Hagler was always my guy.
Yeah.
And it was a close fight. It was.
Yeah, it was.
But for him to never lose a fight and then to have Sugar Ray, I know Sugar Ray, and he put on a great performance coming back from what he came back from. But that was an absolute robbery in my mind.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was.
You're talking about the Hagler.
Hagler-Leonard.
Yeah.
Hagler-Leonard.
And the fight before that was Hagler versus John McGabe.
McGabe.
Which was a war. If you watch it on YouTube, it was a great fight.
Great
My dad
fight.
Refereed that. And I guess there was some kind of jawing, some fighting after the bell, and the Hagler camp wasn't that happy with it. So my dad was supposed to referee the Leonard-Hagler camp, but the Hagler camp actually protested and said we want another referee for that fight. So, I mean, my dad didn't take it personally. You know, it's just, I mean, it is what it is. That was a couple days after I was born. So
It came on ESPN Classic a couple years ago, and I decided to score it just to see, not that I'm any great boxing judge or anything, but to score it to see if it was just my heart that was broken as a kid. But it wasn't. He beat Leonard.
He walked him down. Leonard
except
only for
the last
for 30, 12,
yeah, exactly. Last
seconds.
12 seconds, thir- or 40 seconds, 30 seconds of the round. Yeah. Except for that.
Well, I mean, Hagler's a southpaw, and he came out and he fought most of the fight right-handed, which was an interesting strategy. So it's, I always wondered if that may have cost him.
Yeah, no, I think there was some. There was maybe Hagler was boxing a little bit and not kind of hunting him down a little bit as much as he should have, but I agree. I think Hagler won the fight.
The welterweight to middleweight of the 80s, is there anything better in the history of boxing?
Mike Tyson run over the heavyweight division.
Yeah, but who was he fighting, though?
No, I know.
Honestly.
I said running over.
I mean from a competitive
The heavyweight division
standpoint.
Back then was good, though, too.
It was good, but I'm saying when you have Hagler, Hearns, Leonard, Duran, Aaron Pryor, Alexis Arguello. Yeah. What are we talking about here?
No, I mean
Livingstone Brown. That's a little different, but this whole from 145 to
147 to 160 that welterweight middleweight area.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
Camacho.
Oh, Hector.
Yeah, no. In terms of dance partners and
De La Hoya.
Competition.
Well, we're getting to that point. I mean,
that's
he still never
little,
hit Sweet
Pea. A little down the road.
It's that era, it was just, it's not, I wish we could see it. I love boxing. You can hear it in my voice when we have these shows, when we talk about it. I love the sport of boxing so much. I wish we could get back to that. And it starts, if you're in town, go to the convention center next week.
Next Saturday, yeah.
We'll have some scraps on Saturday for sure. I mean, the heavyweight division is coming around right now a little bit, but you're right.
But
we're
still not getting the fight we want, are we?
No. Well, and that's. I mean, it's
what's up?
It's the networks. It's fighters are signed to networks. I think the perfect resolution to making the right fights happen is if the networks could come to an agreement where they had certain weight classes
that they controlled.
That they controlled. not the promoter. So let's say Showtime got the featherweights and the heavyweights.
That is a great idea.
And DAZN gets the middleweights and the welterweights.
And then you ESPN. Have a Dana White that forces them to fight each other.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you can't. Oh, yeah,
that's one thing. It's undeniable.
Yeah.
But
about the UFC?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get the right fights that you want. But it's a weight class thing, and each promoter has an exclusive deal. Basically, Showtime / Fox is with PBC. DAZN is with Eddie Hearn and Oscar De La Hoya, and then Top Rank has ESPN. Yeah. And they're all basically equally positioned to – they're all about equally as powerful.
Yeah.
And, I mean, DAZN works with ESPN a little bit, but PBC, Al Heyman, Fox, Showtime really don't work with anybody else. So,
have you met Oscar De La Hoya?
Yeah.
I was going to say you
next,
had to.
I know. No,
okay.
I think there's a story brewing.
Yeah.
No, there's no story. He's over. He's not going to say anything. I don't know.
No, I mean, it's just I think that.
You want a piece of him?
I just don't appreciate their promotional
company. You want a piece of him?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I actually.
Told you I was going to goad him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, I do.
But we co-promoted one show with them, and it was not the most favorite show that I've, promoted.
That's all right. It's all right to want a piece of somebody.
The fight that I was talking about, if anybody didn't know, we want Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder, and that's just – is it ever going to happen?
I think Wilder just came out today and says after he fights, who's he fighting? Ruiz, that his next opponent's going
to John Ruiz.
Fury. He's going to go
no,
back.
No, no, no. Andy Ruiz.
Okay, I was going to say, what? What Dequeen Ruiz?
No, Andy Ruiz.
Dequeen?
Yeah.
Dequeen. What Dequeen?
He's going to fight. He's going to fight Tyson Fury, provided, Fury a 40-1 favorite or 1-40 favorite beats Schwartz.
Well, I don't know if they have that deal worked out because.
No, it actually just came out on ESPN earlier today.
I know. But Tyson Fury is with he's with Top Rank now, so he's on ESPN.
All right.
And Deontay Wilder, that fight.
Oh, excuse me, it was Wilder. No, I said it right. Wilder.
Yeah, no, I read the same thing. That's what they're talking about. I'm suspect on if it's going to get made, although that's a good rematch that everyone wants to happen.
Yeah.
But Joshua versus Wilder is the fight.
Yeah.
Joshua fights tomorrow versus Andy Ruiz.
Uh-huh.
Ruiz is a really big dog. But I it's just one of those things where the value is in the dog. I think that Ruiz should get beat. I saw an over-under on 6.5 rounds.
Under's minus 130.
But the over is a...
6.5 under
130. I would take the over. I think Ruiz is actually a pretty talented, crafty guy. And he was with Top Rank. They built him up. He lost one fight that... He probably was on the wrong side of the decision. So I think that Joshua is going to beat him. I think Joshua is the best heavyweight today, and
okay.
He will beat him. But over, and that is there is value in why not just see if the underdog can pull it off.
Let me ask you this real quick concerning Wilder and Joshua, because that's the fight we all want to see. Is this how do they compare? Historically,
I think
let that thought. We have to go to commercial break, John. We're actually late because I want to get that.
Yeah.
And so when we come back, I want you to answer that question. And then we also have Pacquiao fighting Thurman, where Pacquiao is actually a slight dog in this fight.
Yeah.
So hold that thought, John. Ask that question when we get back. We have to head off to our next commercial break. This is the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show here with Tommy Lane from Let's Get It On Promotions. Came in from New York, got a big fight on the card next week down at the Convention Center. John the Hawk Stevens and Tommy Thompson. You can like the show, too, at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Josh is in Los Angeles for some Sportsline stuff going on right now. And make sure that you can follow all of Terry and Tommy Lane stuff at Let's Get It On Boxing and on Facebook and all that good stuff. And make sure you buy tickets and support the local. So, John, what was your question right before?
First of all, it's pretty ironic that the one show Josh ever misses is full
boxing.
Yes. Boxing. But,
Oh, he's a boxing guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, totally. He really has a great mind for, especially the betting aspect of it. But my question was, if it's possible, Wilder, Joshua, historically, could they match up?
Yeah, I mean,
Lennox Lewis, Riddick Bowe, that type of.
That's what everyone fears, and there's a logic to You know, Joshua, I believe, is going to be, you know, he already is, but an extra one of the, you know, two or three guys carrying the sport. I think he has all of the star, you know, attributes. So I think he's going to be huge. And in boxing, there is a you know, the promoters let fights, quote, marinate too not, too long, and in that time, either there's kind of interest is lost or one of the guys gets beat. So there is, you know, I hope that they're not going to marinate this or build Joshua's Brown, build the fight up much longer. I do think it sounds like they're probably going to try and get a fight or two each, but you know, each guy is posturing. They think that, you know, it's the same thing with the Pacquiao Mayweather stuff.
Too long.
It's too long, and I hope that they learn from that. I mean, because there
Two fights ago, Wilder needed a 12-round knockout.
Yeah.
And what did he do his last fight?
They're playing with fire. Oh, he just
obliterated
that dude.
No, that's my point. Was
he he didn't accomplish his goal, though, that he said about killing the man.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the most vicious things. That's probably the most vicious knockout I've seen since the Tyson era.
I mean, he has the fast twitch.
One hitter quitter.
Yeah, that where you know there's, I mean, that's the equalizing factor in the fight. I think Joshua is a much better all around fighter.
I've heard that.
And I think if I had to buy stock in a fighter, it would be Joshua today. I mean, I think he's.
It's just amazing to me that. Boxing on the whole, I think it is struggling, and you finally get what you want is a legit heavyweight matchup. You'd think you'd want to get that done ASAP.
I mean, I agree. I do. I mean, the ratings for Joshua in the last couple of fights on Showtime have been low.
Yeah.
They've also been fights from they were in the UK and they were playing it like in the afternoon. In the United States.
Yes.
So that's skewed into it a little bit. But, I mean, Joshua, I do think, has that potential to be a real big just pop star, you know, beyond boxing, beyond sports.
I fell into the David Haye nonsense.
Yeah.
So I was a little leery of going down that road again. Yeah. So, but Joshua, to me, looks very legit.
He's the real deal. He is, like, I think he's better than Lennox Lewis.
Wow.
Just gets a little bit. So I understand the argument.
I mean, hold on real quick.
Oh, yeah.
To me, as big and as talented as Lennox Lewis was, he never reached his full potential, I believe.
And he got out early.
And he got out early. He did what he had to do. He fought some of these guys at the right time. He fought Tyson at the right time. He fought Riddick Bowe at the right time. I believe that. Evander, did he? I don't even remember fighting Evander.
Yeah, he fought Evander.
Lennox Lewis, the fight in Tahoe that we were just talking about, Mills, Colin?
Yeah, I can wander.
I remember Rockman doing what he did, but Lennox Lewis was one of the most talented. 6'5",
he was one of the most boring 40. Heavyweights to watch. He was, too, though.
But he still.
But he won.
And he. I think he's criminally underrated as well, just like Larry Holmes. So, for you to say that Joshua is better than Lennox Lewis, you know better than I do. But that's saying something.
I mean, I think that I think he's just a talented, a well schooled boxer, strong, has the height. Has the size. I think he's special. But the
how
thing
big
with
is
that,
he?
He's probably, I mean, 6'6", 6'7". I mean, he's a big guy, 260.
Yeah, that's a monster, man.
He's athletic. And
Wilder's a big boy himself.
Yeah, and equally as athletic.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with that heavyweights. You know, I mean, either, I mean.
Can't let's get it on, get this done. Let's go.
Listen, if I could, I would.
All right, what about Pacquiao Keith Thurman? You know, Pacquiao coming in, he probably at the end of
his
career.
As a dog, I was surprised that he's coming in as a dog. I think Pacquiao vanquishes Keith Thurman. I think that.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he just, if he doesn't knock him out, he shuts him out. I am not a Keith Thurman fan. I think he's been way too inactive. Pacquiao looked pretty decent against Broner. I think that Pacquiao is not as shot as people think he is, and I think he might knock out Thurman.
That's interesting. As a Pacquiao fan, I have that sense that he is shot, so he's really not that shot.
Not as shot as I think, and as people think that he is, and I mean I, Thurman doesn't impress me overall.
Okay.
So that fight's actually July 20th. And, Tommy, did you have a question?
I was just going to agree with Tommy that last Pacquiao fight, he really looked kind of revigorated. Like, yeah, he had a little more pep in his step. And
different style, you know, than Mayweather. When he fought, I mean, his opponent had a different style.
Exactly, but still, it kind of gave you hope if you're a Pacquiao fan that, you know, you might be able to see four or five more quality fights out of him. And I think, you know, I think this is going to be a good fight for him coming up in July. And I agree. I mean, there's value in the dog right there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next question. You talked about shot fighters, John. You were asking about Pacquiao. Yeah. What about Tyson Fury? I mean, let's get a few minutes of this, because, you know, here this guy is that he won the title, and then he started drinking every day and doing drugs and in all kinds of trouble.
One does.
And then he says, okay, I'm back. And then, had the fight against Wilder, which how he undertakered when he got up, John. I mean, he just got.
He really did.
I thought he was dead. Then he just
all of a sudden,
you know what I'm talking about, when he got it stuck it on his chin.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and now here we are with, you know, you can't really talk about the heavyweight division without, you know, talking about Tyson Fury. He's a 40-1 favorite in this fight. I mean, does Schwartz have a chance, or is he a tomato can with a step as a stepping block to the next big payday?
40-1.
Plus $4.
Oh,
I actually really don't know much about Tom Schwartz. So, I mean, for a line like that, and with the nature of boxing, I always think a crazy bet like that is worth, you know, throwing a couple bucks on the dog.
Especially in UFC.
But I mean, Tyson Fury. I think Tyson Fury is a super talented fighter, and so he recently signed with Top Rank. And that's who we're co-promoting the show with. And Top Rank, their formula in signing a fighter is they go after guys who are capable and marketable. And Tyson Fury is, I think, one of the most marketable fighters. He has
a real name.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Okay. And he's a gypsy traveler from England. I mean, straight out.
Goes to the pubs and drinks kegs of beer.
It's all real stuff.
I like this guy.
He's been in trouble for indulging a lot of cocaine,
right? And but his you know, his persona reminds me a little bit of,
you can't help but like him.
Oh, but he reminds me of Conor. He reminds me of Conor McGregor a little bit, just in terms of the bravado. I'm not talking about skills and talents and dominance and, you know, his field. Just bravado. I mean, if you think about, like, you know, what other guy is more charismatic in all of sports? I'm talking about Conor McGregor and, for now, Tyson Fury. Really, like, the one guy that you can think of is, like, that touches him is The Rock. I mean, really.
It's funny you say. I was just going to say Ric Flair.
Like Ric Flair, somebody like that. I mean, and these are the guys that create interest. So I think for boxing, I think that he has the skills to compete with any fighter in the world, and he is more marketable than any fighter in the world. So I think that Tyson Fury.
But he's going to, I guess where I'm headed, he's going to lose a fight as a big favorite. It's coming down.
I think he could outbox Joshua, and he could outbox.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
Those three, this is the heavyweight division, is in a really great spot.
You certainly see something that I don't. And you're the professional, not me. So I'm with John, you know, where he didn't see what you saw when it came to Pacquiao.
Yeah.
But I don't see what you say about – I just think Fury's ready to take a nap.
I don't – I mean, I – you know, he beat Klitschko. He outboxed him too.
Yeah.
Really,
that's
outboxed.
True. I forgot about that fight.
And then he went off the
rails. Well,
that's
kind of what
he beat the unbeatable Klitschko.
Him. Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And realistically, if he didn't have that fight against Klitschko, do you think he would be where he is now?
No.
Do you think that fight, that win, put him
just
on the path?
He'd have just
to
faded.
Become, yeah.
That gave him the recognition. And there's a little bit of an interesting scenario with the heavyweight division. It's like three guys have a little bit of a claim. Anthony Joshua has all of the belt, or three of the four belts. Joshua has the WBC belt, and he's been knocking guys out
Wilder.
Yes. And then you have Fury, who beat Klitschko before Joshua did, and at that time, that's the lineal. That's the guy who beat the guy who beat the guy. And then he retired and went off the rails, so he never got beat. So each guy has a little bit of an argument for a claim at the championship.
So, I mean, Kenny and I watch a lot of wrestling. Can there be a triple threat match?
I watch.
If Aramis, yeah, I think if Aramis is involved, maybe.
If you bring, hey, maybe
here
that's.
Here we go.
I pray Aram's listening.
Or just while Joshua and Wilder are fighting, we'll have a run in from Tyson Fury.
Yeah, that's the way to bring all the networks.
That would
together.
Be the only way it could legitimately happen. Because
how about Boxer
Fury
A
would do it.
Boxer A boxes Boxer B first round. Boxer A boxes Boxer
around
C
Robin.
Second round. Then Boxer B boxes Boxer C in the third round, and you just keep rotating it.
There you go.
I'm all for being creative.
Wouldn't that be exciting, though?
I like it.
Yeah.
Wow. How long we got here?
We're going to bring that back to the pasture fights at Sharky's down in Gardnerville.
There
we're
you go.
Start right
there you
there.
Go.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. So who is – wow. Pacquiao. So you think Pacquiao's going to take the
I'm going to bet on Pacquiao. I think that he's – he's not, you know, the Pacquiao of 2009, but he's still has a lot of tools, and I think he's a special guy. I don't think Thurman is a special
and
guy.
We're sports handicapping shows, so you do like Pacquiao a little bit at the plus money, and I totally agree. I'm probably going to have Pacquiao. I'm not going to bet against Pacquiao. I never learned my lesson with that. But the fight tomorrow, the Ruiz-Joshua fight, and you had said something. I don't know if it was on the air or we were talking off the air, but the total rounds in that fight is 6.5, minus 130, under. You actually like the plus money on the over 6.5.
I think the way to try and make some money on a fight like this is to parlay the over and Joshua.
So you think Joshua's going to get him late?
And over 6. I mean, Andy Ruiz is a talented.
He's got enough to stand there for 6.5.
Oh yeah, and I mean, he's an elusive guy. He's a skilled fighter. Could Joshua, you know, starch him in the first round? Absolutely, but I think he's too elusive to. He'll make it. I think, you know, 8, 9, 10. We're talking about
how much time do we have?
About 20 seconds.
All right, never mind.
Hold the question. My question is he knows how much. Did you hear Brock Lesnar's going to cash in Money in the Bank on Monday? I'm curious your opinions on Brock Lesnar rushing and beating Seth Rollins on Monday.
No, he's not going to do that.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Then why would he? It'd be the first champion ever not to lose the cash in the bank. Money in the Bank cash in match.
I'll explain it.
All right. With John being said, it's our time. We have to go off a little bit early to traffic. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, we're back. We've been talking boxing for the first
the whole time. I'm loving it.
I know, we're supposed to. I thought, you know, I'll get Tommy in here, get a little segment in, you know, 20 minutes. We'll struggle for content. And here we are. We got to move on.
What were you going to talk about? The Giants blowing a 5-run lead in the first inning?
No, but we can talk about you guys being smart enough knowing the Giants and getting plus $4.
Plus 550
plus,
I got.
Plus 550. Listen, so yeah. JD, the biggest Giants fan in the world, Giants score 5 in the top of the first.
Five in the top of the first, which is more runs they scored all of the rest of May.
He immediately fires up the Wim Hill mobile app.
Fired up the app.
And says, to see what the Orioles were at home on the money.
Plus 550.
Plus 550.
Inning later, he immediately it's 6-5 Orioles.
He immediately bet it as a 5-run dog, took the plus 550. Oh, what God. Happens? The Orioles score 6 in the bottom of the first.
And it's 8-6 now.
Now it's 8-6 Orioles.
But the Giants came up and hit a home run in the top of the second. Can you imagine that? Overcoming a 5-run lead, and then all of a sudden just to lose it.
That's what it's all about. That is the key. Even though I literally am in the William Hill Sportsbook, I was over there. That's too far to walk.
Yeah, I got you. So you fired up the mobile app.
Fired up the app, got it to 550, and went from there. But it's there's not a ton else to talk about. And it's a joy when we have Terry or Tommy here. Yeah. Luckily, we have Tommy this time. So, what I was going to ask you when we were talking about Pacquiao, and you mentioned earlier how they drug their feet with the Pacquiao Mayweather and all that stuff. If they made that fight in their prime, does Pacquiao win? Hands down.
Can get to him,
I think
he can. He could.
I don't know, man.
I think
man.
He has a chance. I mean, I think it's one of those things where if they fought 10 times, I think maybe Mayweather wins 6.
5.5 to 4?
Yeah, I'd go 6, Manny.
Manny. Well, I mean, and
just
the fights,
for the sheer thunder that guy brought.
Well, and the fights that Mayweather has had difficulty in was a guy who was bringing a lot of pressure. Like
Shame Zab Judah.
Judah almost had him out.
Judah had him.
Mosley almost had him
Mosley.
Out. And I think Judah was a southpaw, which Manny was.
Marcos Maidana.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just an awkward, rough, tough guy.
Yes. And then that dude is hella tough.
No, I'm trying to blank on. There was a fight that Mayweather did lose. He got the decision. Yeah, yeah. He lost the fight. that I will. It was, you know, 2002. No,
you schedule that fight 5-6 years earlier. What's the line?
Floyd's slight favorite.
Slight favorite.
150?
Yeah, just because he's undefeated and a little bit of, I think, naturally bigger. But, yeah, minus 150.
If we're going to speak in hypotheticals, what I would always – I'm a huge Sweet Pea Whitaker fan. Sweet Pea Whitaker versus Floyd Mayweather. I can't believe I just forgot his name. That is a fight. No one's ever getting hit in that fight.
Nobody's ever getting hit in that fight.
That is a pillow fight if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, that would be an interesting matchup. I guess, yeah.
I bet the house on the over.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everything you have on the
18
over.
18 rounds.
Yeah.
Bet everything that you possibly could ever have on that, yeah.
All right, we got to move off to basketball real quick. I want to get your opinion. Raptors, Warriors. Raptors win game one, 118-109. I made a pretty hefty bet. As my board man can attest to, he goes, "Oh, did you have a little money on the Raptors?" I go, "Yes, I did," and I just cashed a comma bet, which was pretty exciting. Did I not? I might post. I took a picture of it because I was thinking about posting it on our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. But with that being said, you know, Raptors. This game opened up yesterday at about one. It opened up at the Warriors minus a point and a half, and it flipped all the way to the Raptors end up being the favorite. And all the wise guys in the world were on the under, and it goes over. So the house wins all the money as far as the total's concerned. You know, now that the series were up 1-0 by Toronto, you know, the Raptors coming back on Sunday, and they're laying two. Raptors minus two with a total of 215, John. This is the third time these teams have played this year. Raptors are 3-0 versus Golden State. No Durant. Any word on Iguodala? I mean, I heard that he looked ugly. He looked like he might have strained a little bit of a hamstring.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to go out and say what Doc Rivers said. He's a good basketball player. He got fined $50,000 for saying that today.
For comparing him to Michael Jordan.
Well, maybe that's the case. But anyways.
But not just because of that. They considered it tampering because the biggest team that is mentioned for Kawhi Leonard is the Clippers. But how about your boy Siakam last night?
Yeah.
Spicy P.
How about the two best players so far?
Gasol.
Well, no, you got Siakam and Leonard, both conference players.
Yeah.
No. Siakam played at New Mexico State, did he not? I mean, New Mexico.
Yeah, at New Mexico and
Leonard
San Diego
State.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's what it's all about. That's why the Wolfpack's the greatest. Anyway, no, but it's – I was honestly surprised when you know, I have those theories about principal bets, and when you see the Warriors in a final situation getting points – it's an automatic for me, and I did it. I didn't have a comma bet, but I did it. I bet the Warriors, and I was surprised at the level of control that the Raptors really had on them. It was something I was not expecting.
Especially John and guys when they squandered a couple of big leads where you go, oh, here we come. Here comes the Warriors.
Yes,
but they were able. This is the reason
that third quarter the Raptors every.
They answered.
Run, they answered. Every single one of them. I was impressed.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And this is the reason that I bet Toronto last night. And it's the sole reason. Toronto was down 2-0 to Milwaukee. They were dead to all rights. Milwaukee looked like they were going to win this thing 4-0. They took Kawhi. They stuck him on Giannis.
Yeah.
And he shut him down. With Durant being out, I thought this is the way I see. They're going to put Kawhi on either Curry or Clay and make the other one beat him. And so you're taking away two-thirds of the scoring options now with Durant being out.
Yeah.
And I really thought that Toronto was going to handle him pretty easily. Even though they win by nine, I was never comfortable. I was never comfortable with my plus one. I wasn't.
No, I know.
Until the end of the game. That's the reason I bet him in game one. With all that being said, Tommy, I know you're mic'd up, want to go. With that being said, game two, I'll listen to you guys because I really have no idea now.
Well, the game yesterday, I'm the opposite. It's their first finals game in
ever.
Toronto. You know,
ever.
So, I mean, just the home field advantage, the atmosphere, that minus one, you could have given me five, and I'm going to take Toronto. And that's coming from
the Warriors. You mean laid five.
Yeah, I would have laid five. But the Warriors were within three
that's
under
what
5
saying.
Minutes. And so, Toronto almost played a perfect game. So I feel they might squeak one out again tomorrow, but you come back to Oakland. I think the Warriors are going to beat them by 20, regardless of Iguodala, regardless of Durant. It's just a different animal. It's the 5 years in a row. But this is going to be a good series. Toronto is something to watch out for the next 3-4 years, especially if they could keep Kawhi.
I was really shocked at the level of control that the Raptors had last night. I wasn't expecting it at all, like I said. And, you know, this
and
is
you're an East guy.
I'm an East guy. I'm wearing a Sixers pullover right now. They were that close to being probably here right now. But it's – I think the Warriors, and Tommy said it, we're 5 years into this. I expected that experience to take over last night, and it just didn't. And that has me a little worried because, you know, this team is great. This team – I don't know if they're going to win by 20. I think they're going to win this next game. What's the line in the next game?
2. Toronto's at home. Lane
Toronto 2.
2-2.
Yeah,
15.
I'm going to take the Warriors again in this. You know, Durant is still up
out.
In
he's
the
out.
Air.
No, he's out.
He's officially out.
Yeah, he's officially out. Game 2.
Iguodala is day to day.
Okay.
And I think a lot of the offense that ran through Golden State yesterday with Cousins coming back. I mean, they did everything without him. Those last games against Portland, I think that changed things, slowed things up a little bit. So,
I say this every time we talk about the Warriors. I think it's up to Clay. I think Steph's going to be Steph. Steph's always going to be Steph.
34 last night.
Dre's going to be Dre.
He's going to be a double double.
This is Clay. He's the best two way guard in the league, depending on what position you think Leonard plays. But this is up to Clay. I honestly believe that. And I was a little interested last night that Bogut didn't get a little more run with what Gasol was doing down low.
Did Dre really go 10-10-10 last
10,
night?
10-10-10.
Wow.
Yep.
Did you watch the game?
No, I didn't.
Do you have any opinion on it?
Not really.
There you go.
No, I don't.
There you go.
He's so sad that we're not talking boxing anymore.
No. What I'm hearing, I think the Warriors is what the bet.
The only boxing I want to see is Draymond versus Drake.
Oh, goodness.
Well, and
Draymond came out and said he's not done yet. Drake doesn't want no part of that.
Drake is Tommy may disagree with this because Tommy's a doorknob, but Drake's the worst rapper on earth. I've said this since day one. He's a poser. He's just – I hate everything about that guy. I like the man Aubrey. I like him – like the person he is.
It's Wheelchair Jimmy.
I don't – yeah, he's Wheelchair Jimmy on Degrassi. I can't stand Drake. And watching him get in Draymond's face like he's a player, come on, dude.
Well, and that's the thing is when you light that fire by when he's walking in the tunnel and you're screaming, you're trash. That's the wrong guy you want to light that fuse.
I agree with that.
Because Draymond is going to take it to another level.
That's the leader.
He's a beast. And he is a beast.
He is the leader of that team.
You
know who Draymond Green is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's the line in Draymond versus Drake? I think a world-class athlete in the best condition that you could possibly be in. I mean, if he just – Drake's going to be out of gas.
You saw what Wilder did.
Oh, is that it? Oh.
I've seen some – there's a program that – they were trying to convert D1 level or, you know, collegiate level athletes, big guys, football players and basketball players who weren't good enough to go to the pros in their field and convert them into basketball, convert them into boxers. And from what I remember with the basketball players, it was
Draymond is
yeah,
a
but
different
you, animal. But you have these amateur basketball players fighting seasoned boxers. I'm talking about Draymond fighting a rapper.
Oh, I
rapper who has
a fake rapper at that, John.
A fake opposer.
A rapper who has a Kevin Durant and a Steph Curry tattoo on his forearm.
That's why you had that wristband on to cover up that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I know you say Drake's the worst rapper, but you have heard Nas, correct?
Well, Nas is the worst rapper. Okay, the worst relevant rapper is Drake.
You want to weigh in on the rap? On you got any rapper
Eat
game?
Eat that, Stanley.
Tommy Lane?
I mean, listen, you know, it's to each is their own.
Very Mills Lane. I mean, pick a side. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, you know, I mean, definitely not Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z is I hate him.
And you okay. Live in New York, so there you go.
You ever see Jay-Z walking around New York?
Him and that fraudulent company, Rock Nation, is all a bunch
careful.
Of bunk.
Careful. You need to make sure you make
they're
it
all
the
still better
lot.
Than Nas, no matter what. Yeah.
Well, no, I will.
You'll be fine?
Yeah.
So with that being said, Toronto Sunday, laying 2, total 215. I would only have the Raptors here. I just think that it's – things have kind
come
of run
on,
out,
man.
But you know, but you go. It goes back to you know Tommy saying that they played the perfect game. Can Siakam get 32 again?
No,
so
he cannot. But also, you're probably going to see a little more scoring on Leonard, I would think. But I think it boils down to Clay every time in my mind. When their backs are against the wall, I'm going to take the Warriors every time against, if their backs are against the wall. Are you kidding me?
Well, and can Toronto replicate that atmosphere of the very first Canadian finals game ever?
I think so, too. It's been that way this whole postseason. They knew that they had a shot. They knew they were the best team in the East, and you know, that's a hard pill to swallow, but they were. That's the best team in the East, and it's just they're so starved with, you know, the Maple Leafs haven't done anything since 1967, I believe. You know, the
When was the last time a Canadian hockey team's been in the Stanley Cup Finals?
It's been a basketball team. It's been a minute. I think they're going to win it. So, I mean, no. I think atmosphere-wise, yeah, that's coming back. Right. That'll be back.
Let's head off to our last commercial break. We'll continue talking basketball, baseball, and got NHL Game 3 coming up tomorrow, too, so we'll talk about that. This is William Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Sorry about that. I was actually looking for the – I downloaded Prop Swap. Interesting. So basically, I'm not going to plug them because they didn't pay us. But anyways, we talked a little bit about the Raptors and the Warriors game. That game is on Sunday at 5:15. Raptors minus 2:15. Kind of split on this game. I do like Toronto at home again. I'm going to go with Toronto again in this game. And so and then you guys, we kind of split on the other side, right?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
I mean, John, we're talking, I asked you a question.
We got fans, sorry. Yeah. What's up?
He loved it.
His jeans are bedazzled, by the way.
Bedazzled.
What was the question?
Final thoughts on the basketball game.
I'm going with the Dubs. I'm going with the Warriors right now. Getting 2 points, I did it the first game, didn't turn out. But who are we talking about right now? We're talking about maybe the greatest dynasty we've seen. I mean, obviously since the Bulls.
Which all comes to an end.
It could. It's got to end at some point, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take the Warriors and over.
Ooh, Warriors and over.
Yeah, definitely putting it all on the Warriors.
Oh, wow. 3-1. I'm taking the Raptors minus 2.
There you go.
Raptors minus 2. Blues. I'm not a hockey guy. You guys probably know. John, you are definitely. So
yeah.
Blues, Bruins. Bruins came out and just looked like they were just going to whitewash this series, you know, destroyed the Blues in game one.
Much like the Sharks did to the Blues.
Yes, and then come back, and then you know, somehow the Blues, you know, beat the Bruins on the home ice. Now they travel home, and they're laying 120 right now. What I see, and this actually just went up since we went on the air, the total in this game is 5. And it was over minus 120. It's up to 5 over minus 140 right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're both high flying, high scoring teams. They're both tough. The Blues really showed me a lot right there coming back, getting that game. They always say the series doesn't start till someone wins on the opponent's home floor or home ice.
Yeah.
And the Blues managed to accomplish their goal right there. After game one, you're thinking, here we go again. The Bruins just keep sweeping everybody. They're going to do it again. No, not with that team. That Blues team is really good. That being said, I like the Bruins in game three here. I think the Bruins are the better team, and it's what it is the Blues need. I mean that goaltender is 22 years old, 23 years old. It's unbelievable, huh? Listen, you're not on the show. Quit distracting me. So sorry.
Listen, I like nothing better than to pelt hockey pucks
off
this guy.
Yes, I like it over. I think he gives it up a little bit. I think the Bruins come in there. Bruins, how about the guy losing his helmet coming down and smoking that guy? That's the type of team that the Bruins have. And it was a legal hit. It's just it's a rough, tough, great hockey play. And I think they're a more physical team. They can score with the Blues, and they have a better goaltender.
You know, with that being said. Going back to what you just said, John, you can get the Bruins tomorrow at even money. In a series, it's tied 1-1. But if you look at the series price, the Bruins are minus 130.
I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It makes a case in point for
really
what you're
does.
Saying
really
about
does.
Actually taking the Bruins at the plus money in game
just
three.
Just take game three and adjust on the fly as you go. If you have them in the series or not, adjust then. I will be absolutely shocked if the Blues win that game tomorrow.
See, right. and watching or, the
– Is it tomorrow or is it Sunday?
I think the hockey's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
It's the first, yeah.
And watching the Blues play, realistically, they remind me of when the Kings went on that run a couple years ago. Just the last half of the season, just
Jonathan
catching
Quick.
Fire and just being amazing. And I agree, the Bruins have the better team, but I think the Blues are just playing out of their minds right now, and they're fighting out of their weight class since we're talking boxing all day.
That was their first finals win ever. I think they're 0-13 going into that, whatever it was. But I'm rooting for the Blues. I hope the Blues actually win this game. Boston's won a little bit of enough, if you know what I'm saying. So, but I think the Bruins are just better.
Yeah, they don't need another parade.
Yeah, no. Boston's won too much of everything.
Too much.
I'm tired of Boston.
Pull your microphone up.
They're losing
everything
right now.
About Boston is
do you?
Bad.
Everything.
Do you watch hockey? Are you an Islander fan?
I like the Rangers.
He's a Jet.
You know, the Rangers were named after a boxing promoter, Tex Rickard, who promoted all the shows out here, Johnson Jeffries.
Okay.
Madison Square Garden hired him to create programming for their venue, and that's what the New York Texas Rangers.
Is that right?
Tex Rickard. New York Rangers have a little bit of a boxing history with them.
Before the Sharks were in existence, I rooted for the Islanders. So that's why I had a little.
I the Flyers?
I went to Hofstra, which is right across the street from Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, on the island there. Yeah.
Other than Tommy Lane, who's the most notorious Hofstra graduate?
Wayne Corbett.
Oh, yeah, Wayne Corbett.
That was impressive.
That wasn't bad.
I'm drawing a blank, but there might be. Oh, no, Bernie Madoff.
Madoff. All right. I thought you were going to say Bernie Carter.
No, Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Sanders.
That's what I meant to say. That's exactly
Hofstra School of Business, Bernie
thieves.
Madoff.
Sorry.
That's right. It was in here playing blackjack the other day, and Steve Wisniak.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
What?
Swear to God.
Playing blackjack.
He was playing blackjack. He was sitting here hanging out, and somebody goes, oh, that's Wozniak. And I was like, whatever. You know, you always hear this, and sure enough.
He likes that 17-1.
Gave us his passport and got a player's card.
You saw the 17-1, right?
Yeah, 17-1, on the DP, yeah.
I hit that a couple times.
Can you believe that?
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's been playing $5 to $25 a hand, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The guy's worth. Well, he's
oh my goodness,
a lot of
was
yeah,
so. Almost as much as Tommy Lane.
Right, with that being said, what else we got going? Who's your favorite? How long do we got? Where are we at with this? My time.
We got
5 minutes. Who's your favorite football team? Now that Nick, I just let everybody know Nick Bogdanovich has hung the week one lines of the NFL season. Those are out. So if you're looking for some early action, and also the season win totals for the NFL teams are out, adjusted since the draft.
I don't have a team. I like, because I like to bet on the games. It's, you know, it's hard to.
Your team is whoever you got.
Yeah,
so
my
do
team
we,
is.
So do we, Tommy.
But I want to say the Giants, if anything. But I'm not.
That's
I'm
good.
Not. I'm not really in.
Over under on how many games Eli starts?
Ooh, good
I
call.
Hope none.
Tommy, I'll tell you right now.
Move on from this.
8.5.
I think that's high, John. I think
I'll take the under on that one.
I was thinking 6.5.
But
I think it's 8.5.
Yeah, if 6.5.
God.
He beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl.
Isn't that crazy?
Put him in the Hall of Fame already.
That's
well, as Drake would say, the Patriots are trash.
Oh, God.
Drake.
The rebuilt Giants, obviously. What is the Giants? Keep talking. I'll pull up the exact.
If it's regular season. I guarantee it's 5.5.
Over to win total?
5.5.
Six flat.
Under 130. How's that half away?
Six under 130.
What are your Pittsburgh Steelers?
Isn't it? We looked at this. Nine. Nine over minus
you know,
one.
I like the Steelers.
There you go.
Well, you
now
know,
we're talking.
So three of their best players are gone. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
which three?
Brown and Bell.
Juju.
That's two.
I said two of their three best players are gone.
Oh, and Ross. Three, right?
No, Juju's better than Ben.
Ones. What?
Who?
Schuster. I was firing John.
Juju's better than AB.
What's the over-under on Cowboy wins?
Probably 9.
It's got to be
10. See if I remember. It's 9. Come on. 9 minus 110. Both.
What do you think? So
I think the Cowboys win that division. I think they win 11 games this year. I do.
A Cowboy fan that you and I know very well told me that if they're going to sign one of them, they should sign Dak and not Zeke.
Yep. So
you agree with that?
No, I don't.
He's awful.
I agree. But I think that
Zeke is your whole team.
I think that Dak can do enough to keep us in games. I don't think he's going to make nearly. The reason I think they're going to is because of the defense last year. If you would have told me the defense would have performed the way it did, I mean, they're top 10 defense last year. They're going to get better on defense.
How about
this year,
that?
And it's amazing. You know, and believe me, when you say John, you can attest to this and speak on this. Is that I'm not the Homer Cowboy fan that every week I'd say, oh, they're going to blow somebody.
Never.
Up. Very seldom do I ever say
never.
This is the spot. When I say this is Dallas's spot,
yeah.
Believe me, I probably run high 80% on those wagers.
Me too.
High
80%. Me too. I do that as well.
Yeah.
And it's funny that when you're speaking to the Cowboys, if I know there's much maligned for once Cowboy fans, but Romo, if Romo was still rolling right now, I'd take him. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell your boy Arnie stays.
Look, I just don't get it. You know, you talk about replacing people. Like when they said, Oklahoma, they didn't know Lincoln Riley was going to come in and have the success he did. And they said, you guys got to get rid of Stoops. And I was like, okay, but replace him with who?
With who? Yeah, exactly.
That's the point. I mean, just get rid of him to a random coach off the street.
That was always my thing with the alt thing in this town.
And who's
better than Chris Holt in this town?
Who has ever had any success as a football coach?
Before or after?
Other than Chris Holt. Zero. I think Coach Norvell, God bless you, my man.
Let's go.
I think our team is bigger, stronger, faster, and I think that we're headed in the right direction.
I'm excited for this
too.
But with that being said,
they're still going to be 6-4.
I disagree. I think they win. I said it last year, and I'm going to say it again this year. We're going to win 7 games. I'm going to bet them over. Right. I was the only guy last year.
That's not true. I was on there too. You always say that, okay. And I had it as well.
All right, maybe
you had a bigger bet, so I'll give you that.
As long as the cannon gets the proper color again.
Let's not blow 23-point lead to the Rebels.
Yeah. Boy, that stadium got cold fast. Interesting line, too. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the Niners open up at 9 wins?
They've gone up.
No, down. They're 8.5, unders -150.
To win the Super Bowl, they're like 8-1.
Yeah, it's crazy. Tommy?
I mean.
Drop some knowledge on the folks. We got 1 minute.
I don't know who's on the.
Garoppolo. The whole season hinges on Garoppolo.
Well, I think
then I wouldn't bet on Garoppolo. No, there you go. I wouldn't bank on him. I would take the under.
Other Tommy Niner fan.
I'll take the under right now, but I think that line dropped because Bosa got hurt during his first OTA, and I haven't read anything about what it was or anything. But you know, when your number one draft pick gets hurt on your defense,
they had to shoot him.
All right, we got to go. Tommy, make sure you come out and support Lane. Let's get Terry and Tommy Lane's Let's Get It On Boxing promotion.
Thanks.
Fight card is next week, next Saturday.
Next Saturday. First bell at 3:30, early-ish, but should be a good night.
And you can find out all this information at Let's Get It On Boxing. So make sure you do all your sports wagering with William Hill. Download the mobile app at www.williamhill.us. See you next week on ESPN 94.5.